You're listening to 98.9 WGUF.
The opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of WGUF, Renda Broadcasting, its management, or advertisers.
He's seen it from all sides. As a cop, as a clergyman, as a candidate, even a professional wrestler. Now he brings you both sides of the issues facing Naples and all of Southwest Florida. This is the Joe Whitehead Show. Call Joe now at 430-2428.
And welcome to the Joe Whitehead Show. Calling this episode Patch Quilt, because we're going to be going over a hodgepodge of stuff. Patch Quilt. I'm your guest host, John DePrisco, and Joe will be back next week. We are live and armed, that's right, with truth, intelligence, and logic, and Florida State Statute 790. We do take your calls live at 430-2428. That's 239-430-2428. Our call-in guest is Doug Rankin. He's the Collier County Committee Man to the Republican Party of Florida. And our in-studio guest is Dr. Joe Doyle. So today, like I said, it's going to be a patch quilt. We're going to hit local, state, national politics. We'll talk about the economy. We'll talk about the pandemic and COVID-19. We'll get into some local stuff about like masks in Collier, the school budget in Collier. And as I mentioned, you can call us at any time about any of the topics we're discussing at 430-2428. Also, if you have loved ones that are not in the area, they can listen live at WGUF989.com. And so without further ado, I'd like to get to, from the front line, Doug Rankin.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Doug. What do you got for us today?
You know, now it's time to fight the attempted communist takeover of the United States by Joe Biden, who is absolutely senile and is being manipulated, even though he was probably already a socialist to begin with, by the communists around him. And, you know, he's got that the current bets are that his running mate is going to be a full-blown communist.
Right.
So just what we need. And, of course, we've got the communists out there disrupting the country, just like they did in Eastern Europe, trying to make it so unstable that everybody just votes for stability. And then the stability is the communists. And then the people from Cuba and the former Eastern Bloc can tell you all about what's going to happen next.
Yep.
And, you know, so I had people in my office Friday from Cuba and from, it's not Bulgaria. What's the other one that was really bad next to the Bulgaria?
Romania?
The one with all the little shelters. They spent their whole national product building a bunch of little shelters that weren't even functional. But anyway, you know, these people are sitting in my office. They're going, how stupid are these people that are supporting this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got communists in Portland hurting people, breaking things. Blood, everything, everywhere, finding magazines and frozen water bottles. And I don't mean magazines you read. I mean magazines full of bullets and bricks and frozen water bottles laying around.
Yeah.
And they're attacking a federal courthouse. And it's just a protest.
Sure it is.
You know, before you can be an elected official, I think you need to be in touch with reality.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of these protesters. Oh, and by the good news, though, they caught Umbrella Man.
Oh, yes.
The Minneapolis protest, there was a guy who was dressed up in all black and had a black gas mask on.
Yep.
And he had an umbrella on so cameras couldn't pick him up.
Yeah.
And some good citizens, most of them actually African-Americans, tried to chase him away, and he threatened to kill him. And he was one breaking windows so they could start burning down, like, the AutoZone and all that. They finally figured out who he was.
Yeah.
And then he was an Antifa that doesn't exist. You know, they're a myth. And then
according to Jerry Nadler,
the guy, a couple of guys in the Portland got found out. One, their grandma turned him in because they was wearing a vest that she bought him. And the other guy, now this is what we call intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's in a federal court, in a courthouse. I don't think it was the federal courthouse. I think it was the local courthouse. full of cameras, without a shirt, with his name tattooed on his back.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of people that just make law enforcement's job really good. You know, I once had a brand new car that my friend got for me because some idiot tried to steal it when it had 700 miles on it and backed it into a phone pole.
Oh, jeez.
And so he didn't make it very far. He got arrested. My friend replaced the backside of the car because it was a front-wheel drive vehicle anyway. It didn't matter. And my friend's really good at this. So I got a brand new car with 700 miles on it for a pittance of what it was worth.
So, Doug, you know, what's going on with what's going on with Governor DeSantis? Have you been in touch with the office recently, or
he's doing best he can under these circumstances? Most of the new cases in Florida are because of testing, and they're young people who are not getting sick. I have had 100 people through my office in the last few months that are young. Mm-hmm. They've had the virus, and they didn't even barely notice it. You know, this virus will either get you in the nose, and if it gets you in the nose and that's as far as it goes, it's not even as bad as the flu. If it gets into your lungs, then you got a problem.
Right.
Especially if you are, you know, everybody's raising heck about all this. But, you know, Governor DeSantis is working hard. They're doing the best they can. You know, a lot of this was from riots and gatherings, and most of it was private gatherings. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not anything that he's allowed. But, you know, Governor DeSantis is limited on what he can do by the Florida Constitution.
Right.
He respects the Constitution he raised his right hand to swear to. And that Constitution has a very broad religious provision in it. It also has a very broad privacy provision.
Right.
And the privacy provision, which is unique in this country, says people shall have the right to be free from governmental intrusion in their private life and except as otherwise provided for herein. And except for one or two words, that's an exact quote of Article 1, Section 23.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, if you're regulated by one of his departments, like a beauty shop or a salon or, you know, somebody like that, he can shut you down. But if you're not, he can't.
Right. Yeah.
And so, you know, what do you do in real life, John?
I'm in IT.
So he can't walk into your business and tell you to go home?
No.
And actually, my law office, even though we've always been determined to be essential, and we've always been there because, you know, I have NBC training. And I had a long chat with my cousin last night. My cousin had NBC training, and he was also in charge of an NBC unit on the Korean border for years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's having the training and definitely putting it to use. We were discussing this current situation that's going on. He's also lives in San Antonio, and they haven't had too much trouble because in San Antonio, if you want to peacefully protest, the cops will be out there with you. If you want to cause trouble and start breaking things, you're in a deep pile of trouble.
Yeah.
And my cousin followed his father somewhat. His father was in wonderful places in World War II, like Iwo Jima and Guadalcanal. Mm. Brought my mother back a lot of red-stained Japanese currency.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin, until just the last few months, has been a civilian volunteer for the police force in San Antonio. And I don't mean sitting there taking reports. I mean drug busts and stolen cars and the whole nine yards. And he's somewhat of a chip off the old block. And he's been doing his best out there. But, you know, we've got good people out there, good cops, and none of them support things like we saw in that with that guy on the guy's knee on the guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was universally decried as horrible.
Yeah. And as you know, I'm running for re-election as state committee man.
Mm-hmm.
And in my job is to get Republicans elected. And I got a little shock for everybody who lives in Collier County where it's almost all Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been wearing my Trump mask everywhere, and I've got no down things, and I've got a whole lot of up things, and other people either don't say anything or they give me a congratulations. I don't get anybody criticizing here. But in this state, there are 250,000 more Democrats than there are Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
and there's
definitely
a whole bunch
state.
Of independents. And the only way Trump or anybody else won statewide election is to get votes from those people.
Right.
So you got to engage brain before starting tongue. And my opponent seems to lack that quality. Either that or he belongs to the P.T. Barnum School of Publicity. Don't care what you say about me as long as you spell my name right. But you can't alienate, though, everybody, because if you do, we won't win elections. And the Republicans control this state, mm-hmm. not because we do anything nefarious, but right. because about 1.5 million of those Democrats, that party is full of communists, left them a long time ago. And so they still register Democrat, but they vote Republican. Yeah. And the vast majority of the independents vote Republican for the same reason.
Yeah.
And so right now, we've got one of the starkest contrasts in history. Either vote for the communists or vote to keep America great.
Yes.
And get back to where we were. And it's been only a couple of months, but, you know, a lot's happened. We had the best economy in the history of the United States.
Yeah, in
until
February.
Until this virus came along.
Yeah.
And I've got a bet for you right now. Come November 4th, all this nonsense about shutting down the economy is going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. Hey, Doug,
and,
did you...
You know, and I was talking to several doctors over the last week about that, and they agree with me that killing 350 or 400,000 people to save 100,000 is right. pretty poor math.
Yeah. Hey, did you meet Herman Cain? Because he recently passed.
Yes, I did. Okay. I was a good friend of his. He also, there's a gentleman who lives in Naples mm-hmm. who used to run a radio talk show out of Atlanta.
Hmm.
And when he retired, guess who took over his show?
Was it Herman?
Yeah, it was Herman Cain.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell you, I was with him when he was running for president.
Mm-hmm.
And ain't nobody in this world going to accuse me of being racist for a lot of reasons. We'll leave that to the Democrats who are the racists.
Yeah.
But I was with Herman Cain back then. And, you know, and that one particular thing right before the media did a hatchet job on him,
mm-hmm.
we had a Florida meeting in Orlando, one of the big Rosen hotels.
Okay.
And it was an entire two floors full of suites for each of the candidates.
Mm.
You know, and we had people there like Perry and all that. Remember Governor yeah. Texas? Big deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of people were there. Guess whose suite was full to overflowing and had a line down the hallway and around the corner?
I'm going to guess it was Herman's.
It was Herman.
Yeah.
And he was doing great, and that's why the media hatchet jobbed him.
Yeah.
That lady, he wasn't his girlfriend. It's just some lady he helped.
Oh, yeah.
And I've helped a lot of people in my life, you know, and I'm sure you have, too. I've helped them get out of trouble. I've helped them get over a problem. I've helped them get past a problem. I've helped them. I even, when my boys were growing up, they are actually parents in this community.
Mm-hmm.
But when their kids turn 18, even though they haven't graduated from high school, and even though they're good kids, they just toss them on the street.
Mm.
Well, when both of my sons were in their senior year of high school, we took in kids from both times. They're 4 years apart
mm-hmm.
because of that. And we've done a lot of things like that, helped a lot of people get together and get with it and get moving on. And, you know, and we had some damn comic here come to Naples one day over at the ROW. He says, well, there's a room full of white people. It's Naples. Yeah, and I said, that's because our state representative is in Tallahassee, Byron Donalds.
Yeah.
And if you look on my most recent Facebook post mm-hmm. of my reelection, you'll see one of the pictures there is an African-American gentleman sitting to the right of the podium.
Mm-hmm.
That is Mr. Burnett, I can't get his name right. He is currently the chairman of Palm Beach County and was then, too.
Mm-hmm.
He also, at that time, he was the vice chairman of the Republican Party of Florida.
Right.
And the only reason he's not still sitting in that seat is he didn't want to do that again because he had a law practice. He had to run Palm Beach, which is a big deal, you mm-hmm. know, and all that. So he didn't want to be vice chairman again. Otherwise, he still would be.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. We're out there. We're great. We're... You know, because you don't engage brain before starting tongue in my job, Republicans don't get elected. And right now, I think we've got one elected Democrat in all of Collier County, and that's one person on the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other Democrat we've had elected in Collier County was a fire commissioner, and he's gone now.
Right.
And, you know, you don't do that by not engaging brain before starting tongue.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've helped put a lot of people in jail that were corrupt politicians, and most all of them were Republicans.
Well,
because that's all I have to choose from.
Right.
And, you know, and since then, we haven't had any corruption problems.
Right. So, Doug,
you know, so I don't stand up for Republicans just because they got an R behind their name. If they're a rhino or if they're a anti-Trumper or something like that, they're history. So, and if they do something bad enough, they'll do like Jim Greer did. He'd go to prison.
Yeah. So the Republican like primary
and
comes
Hancock
up in August,
and
right?
Constantine, Doug? And all them.
Doug?
Bye-bye.
Does the
you know,
when is the...
Or Nelson Faber. You know, a bunch of Democrats and other people in the school administration put up with Nelson for a long time. As soon as I found out about it, within 2 weeks,
he was
arrested. We outed him at a public forum.
Doug, when is the primary? It's August 18th,
what?
Right? The Republican primary?
Yeah, well, early voting starts next Saturday.
Right.
And runs through the following Saturday.
Okay.
And then voting is on the 18th. And I'll tell you something. Most of the... It used to be one-third, one-third, one-third. Absentee, early voting, and election day.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I heard, the number of absentees was just outrageous.
Yeah.
It's way out there. A lot of people, I've got some clients right now. I've got an 91-year-old guy and his 89-year-old wife. And I've got people, 107 are perfectly healthy, but these people are not. Their health's about as stable as the San Andreas Fault. And so I had to protect them from their Cynthia Condo Association the other day. They wanted the middle of this nonsense to come in there and rip their windows and doors out to replace them with hurricane windows and doors. And I told them to get the hell lost because these poor people have locked themselves in that unit. Everything's delivered. And they haven't been out since March.
Right. Yeah.
And so you're going to see a lot more absentees. I think it's going to be about 50, 25, 25.
Okay.
In
my
opinion.
Sounds about right.
If I weren't on the ballot because of this nonsense, I would be working a poll like I was in March because, you know, I belong to a dozen organizations I don't get paid for. I just retired as the longest serving director of the most successful Habitat for Humanity in the world. I was the longest serving director in their history.
Mm, wow.
Anyway, and we're the most successful Habitat for Humanity in the world, and very proud of that. And Kiwanis and the Masonic organizations and JCs and, you know, on and on and on. I've been everywhere. My opponent hasn't been to a single Republican meeting except a few of them held in his store. And I haven't seen him in any Republican function. I haven't seen him out there fighting for any Republican. And I've been doing that in this town since I came here in 83 and I started fighting for Republicans in 84.
Okay.
And a few months later.
And when did you become the committee man?
This will be my fourth election, and they're 4 years at a time.
Okay, so that's a decent
and
number.
And before that, I was vice chairman, except I gave up being vice chairman for 4 years, and there was a very good reason for that. We had a good friend of mine whose name was Mr. Abrams. Hmm. And Mr. Abrams had two very, very good friends that could help us raise a lot of money and help a lot of Republicans.
Yeah.
Dick Cheney and Robert Novak.
Okay, yeah, big names.
And so I stayed out of vice chairmanship for 4 years because it allowed Al Abrams to be vice chairman, and then he brought us Dick Cheney twice and Robert Novak once. In fact, we were lucky enough to get Robert Novak 6 months before he died.
Oh, wow.
Of cancer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, a bunch of us were sitting in his hotel room after the speech, having a nice long discussion with him and Al. Al's not a famous name, but he was the head of the lobbyist for the National Association of Realtors.
Okay.
He started out life in the basement of the Nixon White House. And the Dick Cheney connection is a thing of be careful who the guy is next to you. You better take good care of him. You never know where he's going to go.
Right.
Well, this young kid moves in next to him. So he starts helping him out, and when Nixon got shown the door, Al left and went out to be those lobbyists.
Uh-huh.
This young kid stayed, and when the Ford administration lost, this young kid had nowhere to go, so Al and his wife took him into their house and gave him some money to go out west and run for Congress. The rest is history. The young man was Dick Cheney.
Yeah. And, now
you know, just because I've been in this office a long time don't mean anything. Because, you know, I have always been the guy, if you see me working for the Republicans in a parade, you'll see me walking. Even though a quarter of the time it was my vehicles. I wasn't driving them. I was walking. And if you see anybody out in the middle of the night putting up signs, that was me.
Yeah.
Or still is me.
Yeah.
Last time I did that was for the governor 2 years ago. I was out in the middle of the night putting up signs, and I mean literally 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, Doug, and I want to wish you well. I understand you have some endorsements. And
The chairman of the Republican Party of Florida, Joe Gruters, who is also the chairman of Sarasota County, and he and I have been, he's been supporting Trump for years before he ran. I was supporting Trump for 4 months before he ran when I was invited to a private get-together with him and some other people at Van Weitzel in Sarasota, Frank Lloyd Wright's last project.
Right.
And 4 months before he decided to run.
Uh-huh.
And if you had recorded that speech, you'd know exactly what he's going to do because he stuck to his word, exactly what he said he'd do if he ran for president.
Well, I appreciate it, Doug. We are coming up on our break, and we wish you the best of luck and have a great day.
You too, sir. Right. And say hello to the doctor for me, too.
Yeah, he's right here. So thank you very much. And with that, we are going to go on break. You're listening to the Joe Whitehead Show.
Listen to Naples FM Talk Live at WGUF989.com.
If you want the best health care in Southwest Florida, contact Alessi Family Care. They're right here in Bonita Springs. It's a family-run, owned, and operated practice. They take care of not only your wellness needs, and when you're sick, they actually communicate with you and return your phone calls. That's right, a doctor's office where the doctor actually returns your phone calls. Be sure to contact AlessiFamilyCare.com for the best in medical care anywhere in Southwest Florida. That's AlessiFamilyCare.com, and you can find them also on the Joe Whitehead Show website.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns of Collier County is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done. Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
This is the city, Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith, BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
Ladies and gentlemen, interest rates are still very low, actually at their lowest in years. Now is the time to make that loan for the new house, the refinance, or the home repair job you were thinking of. Give my friend Dean Malinarich a call at Primary Residential Mortgage right here in Naples, Florida. Dean will get you the best possible rates, and he'll set you up with a mortgage that fits your needs. That's Dean Malinarich at Primary Residential Mortgage. You can find him at lenderdean.com or call 298-9489.
98.9 WGUF.
Ladies and gentlemen, here in Southwest Florida, we depend on our cooling systems pretty much year-round. The go-to folks are AC by Florida Comfort Systems right here in Naples. They're owned and operated by Denny Martin. Denny's a veteran of the USS Saratoga, served honorably, and came here in 1985. He's won multiple awards for top-notch business in Southwest Florida. They're the ones to call if you need a new system, if you need your system maintained. All of their employees are background checked. They're drug screened. They do the job right. Give them a call today. That's AC by Florida Comfort Systems. They're the ones with the cool dog mascot on the trucks, and you can find them on the Joe Whitehead Show website.
You're listening to Collier County's official news and information source.
Set a button.
To 98.9 WGUF, Naples FM Talk.
And we're back on the Joe Whitehead Show. And with me in studio is Dr. Joe Doyle. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, always good to have you here. We did, as mentioned in the last segment, we had some coincidental deaths. I think, we mentioned Herman Cain, but also John Lewis. And they were, both black men, but on opposite sides of the spectrum. However, you know, here we talk about the politics, but on the personal side, we wish them well and that they rest in peace.
We do.
Yeah. And so moving on, let's go into the first patch quilt or hodgepodge of what we're going to get to today. And that is the recent passing of the masks in Collier.
Yeah, the masks. Well, first of all, the masks are unsettled science.
Right.
You know, you have pros and cons and it just depends on your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But in Collier County on July 14th, the commissioners defeated a mask ordinance 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the commissioners, Penny Taylor, brought up a special meeting for reconsideration on July 21st. And this time it passed 3-2. But it only applies to unincorporated Collier County.
Right.
The interesting thing is Commissioner Taylor is from District 2, which is by and large the city of Naples.
Right.
The cities have to opt in.
Yeah.
And then this past week, the city of Naples had their own special meeting and they decided to opt out.
Right.
And to do a heavy educational campaign with voluntary mask wearing.
Mm-hmm. So very strange.
Yeah, it makes you want to scratch your head and wonder what's really going on. I believe the city of Marco Island also decided to opt out.
Yes. Yeah. So let's get into COVID-19 and the pandemic. And, you know, we have seen, you know, we're being honest here. There's been an uptick in Florida in both number of cases and number of deaths. And, you know, we did mention it in the prior segment with Doug, you know, it does seem like the average age is going down.
Right. Well, early on in the pandemic in March, the average age of positives was about 58.
Mm-hmm.
Now your average age is 38.
Mm.
So it's gone down a lot to younger people.
Right.
And we always said that we did the pause of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to flatten the curve for all of our resources,
right.
Hospitals, PPE. And we didn't really have enough ventilators back then either. Mm-hmm. So we did that. We did it for 2 weeks, and then we extended it. We actually did it for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea was to push the cases into the summer.
Right.
So that we wouldn't have the surge that Italy and New York City had in March.
Right.
Well, so guess what?
We're in the summer.
This is the summer.
Yeah.
Today's, by the way, August 1st.
Yes.
And we are halfway through the summer with our first hurricane.
It's actually my brother's birthday. So if he's listening, I want to wish Joe, he's also named Joe, a happy birthday.
Yeah. And actually with my nurses over on the East Coast, and I'm thinking of them today because of, it's going to hit anywhere from Boca Raton up north. We used to have Christmas in July on August 1st.
Oh, okay.
But 1 year, well, anyway, you know, it was August 1st, but it's supposed to be July. Anyway, but I digress. So we are having the cases.
Yeah.
You notice that we're not talking about a lot of hospitalized children.
Right.
The people who still end up hospitalized are over the age of 60 and or with underlying conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the deaths in Florida have still been in people more in their 70s and 80s.
Right.
Okay. We certainly don't want people to have to die from it. But there is something that he said about having a mild case. As Doug mentioned, he's had people in his office with mild cases because then they can develop the antibodies and then we can develop herd immunity.
Right.
Because we don't know if we're going to have a vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, the AIDS epidemic started. We still don't have an AIDS vaccine.
Yeah.
So we need to live our lives.
Yeah.
People over the age of 60 still should stay closer to home. We're only in phase two of reopening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inconvenient, it's boring, and we get it.
Yeah.
But, and people with underlying conditions as well. But absolutely. Anyone under 60, especially under 40, let them live life and let them keep the economy going.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so as you were mentioning, flattening the curve, you know, we have to understand COVID is with us forever. It's here. You're not going to get down to zero. Flattening the curve, as you said, just means delaying some of the quick rush numbers into the summer, which we did, but it's inevitable. It's going to be getting around. It's going to, you know, it's going to be like the flu or even the common cold where we'll have seasons and, you know, sure, we hope for a vaccine, but we can't live our lives based on the fact that, you know, we're not going to get to zero on this.
And we can't lock up, for the lack of a better word, healthy people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what quarantine is.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about Italy and New York City back in March, the numbers were so large that people couldn't find hospital beds.
Right.
At least now if people get sick, we have the hospital capacity. Yeah. And our local hospitals report on that all the time.
Yep.
And the capacity is good. And we may have a lot of testing, but again, we're finding it's younger people.
Yeah.
And they're not being hospitalized and they're not in the ICU. Yeah. They have their, and they recover.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a political point to talk about like the positivity rating and all that. That's not the critical number. I mean, it's the number of people who are going into the hospital and sadly the numbers that aren't coming out of the hospital. But if you have a broad level of testing, and sometimes you're testing multiple people multiple times, and even if you're getting positive numbers, then like you said, we're creating herd immunity, and you know, they're either asymptomatic or they have a mild flu-like symptoms. And we move on.
Well, you know, with testing, it's overdone. I mean, there's some people getting tested all the time, like you said. Now, I have a friend who's a home health nurse.
Uh-huh.
She gets tested every 2 weeks.
Well, that makes sense.
Right. You can take people's temperatures every day with the thermal scan.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are ways to monitor this. But the media has created such hysteria.
Yeah.
For at least the past 2 weekends, it was at a fever pitch. And it's now leading into the return to school.
Yeah.
You know, so you have the people over the age of 60 who are scared to go out to a restaurant or to go shopping. Now you have parents, you have really the teachers who are scared to go back to work,
yeah,
because we had a school board meeting this week and the parents want the kids to go to school.
Yeah.
Interestingly, with no masks.
Yeah.
Because they don't think the kids are going to keep them on for 6 or 7 hours a day.
No.
And it's the teachers union who is, said they stay online until the cases decline. Well, like you said, you know, this could go on for a long time.
Yeah.
So when are we going back to school? Now, there are teachers who have underlying conditions.
Sure.
They may be having chemo or they have diabetes or high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Well, let them be the teachers who teach virtually.
Right. Yeah.
And then you do have some children who have asthma and some other childhood diseases and cancers.
Mm-hmm.
They should be at home. Learning online.
Absolutely.
Everybody else is relatively healthy, should go to school.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So speaking of fevered pitch, let's get into the local primaries. You know, there's a lot going on. And as Doug said, you know, it's Republican is the kind of the important primary, even if it's in name only. It's almost everybody running as Republicans.
Yeah, if the Republican wins the primary, pretty much they're going to win the general. So it's always the primary down here that's the big deal. Well, the congressional race for CD19 is the big one.
That's the big one.
Yeah. And there's some mudslinging going on.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. You know, it's always kind of fun. I've actually enjoyed some of the postcards that have come out. They've been pretty funny. So, which is good. Now, that's good humor. I don't like the mudslinging. I like some good humor, though.
Yeah.
We have the clerk of the courts.
Yes.
We also have the property appraiser's office, and then of course we have the race that Doug is in for the Republican committeeman,
mm-hmm,
and we also have the Republican committee woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then the city of Marco Island has 4 seats up. Mm-hmm. One councilman is term limited, so he's out.
Okay.
The two of them have decided not to run, so, and there's only one incumbent running. There's one incumbent running. And there are also 4 others. So there's 5 people running for 4 seats.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens in Marco Island.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, as you were saying, if it's the Republican primary and only Republicans can vote in the Republican primary. So it's kind of interesting that it basically sets what's going to happen in November.
Yeah, so I have some friends who are no party affiliation, NPA.
Yeah.
So they become Republicans for the summer.
Yeah.
And then the day after, they go back to NPA for the general election. Oh, the other thing that's on here that everybody can vote on is
A referendum?
The referendum for the Collier County schools.
Mm-hmm.
They want some flexible funding to move capital dollars to operational dollars.
Right.
And in simple terms, that's you would if you were a homeowner or a condo association, you would have a little reserve account, or you should.
Yeah.
To save up for a new roof.
Yeah.
Air conditioner, hot water tank.
Yeah.
and big item appliances, possibly.
Yeah.
What we call capital items.
Yeah.
And then your operating account is your everyday and monthly expenses.
Right.
Well, I learned in business school that you never use capital dollars for your operating account.
Yeah.
So all I can say in simple terms to everyone is vote no on this.
Yeah.
Because and the school district also had their preliminary budget this week. $1.2 billion.
It's just unbelievable.
And they have 47,997 kids.
Yeah.
So if you do the math, just on superficial terms, it's $25,000 per kid. Now up the street here in Lee County, they have double the kids,
yep.
96,000 children. And their budget is 1.6, maybe 1.7 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Based on those numbers, we in Collier County should only have an $800 million budget.
Yeah.
So, and once again, the five school board members, one was never a Republican and the others are either rhinos and one was a Democrat turned Republican.
Yeah.
Voted unanimously for this. And, it's just outrageous the spending that goes on in Collier County. We just need to really cut the budget. They don't need to be, first of all, they need to cut their spending, and they don't need to be transferring dollars from the capital account to the operating account.
Yeah, that's really scary because you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, but Peter's in the future. You know, when you rob from your capital expenditure bucket, that's schools that haven't been built yet. That's, you know, infrastructure or whatever. And guess what's going to happen in, you know, 5 years from now, when all of a sudden, let's say we have a surge in population and they don't have the money necessary to build the next elementary school or whatever, what are they going to do? They're going to come back to us and say, we need to increase the millage or whatever, you know.
Well, actually, there is a new high school that's going to be built right here, not far from the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be about $95 million. They already have over $70 million for it.
Right.
The way that the budget has worked is that the millage is set. Some of it is set by the state,
mm-hmm.
and some of it is local effort.
Right.
Well, the interesting thing is that the state required effort was that we actually got a decrease.
Yes.
But the part that the school district has discretion on, they never give us a break. They always go for that full millage.
Yep.
So in addition to your point on this, if you don't need it all, roll it back and give us a break here on our property taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, comparing apples to apples, the per student number is just way too high.
Now, I will say that some of it, right. And we could, and they always complain that we overstate the situation. I will give them credit for some of it is redundancy where they're collecting, for instance, insurance premiums for the family of the school teachers. And so you can back out some of that money, maybe $100 million.
Right.
All right. And maybe get the per child estimate down to 20 something thousand instead of 25.
Right.
Okay. But they try to roll back all of these things, including some of the capital things, to get it down to 16,000, which is still higher than private tuition, for instance, at St. John Newman High School.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And we know that the charter schools don't get any of the local money.
Uh-uh.
They have to use the state money of $7,800 per student.
Right.
And they do a wonderful job and they get better outcomes, as we know.
Yeah. Number one in Collier. So let's move on to the national economy. You know, the existing unemployment benefits did not get renewed yet. So possibly at least 1 week, people won't get the $600. But there is a stimulus, you know, second round of stimulus. They're looking at like $1,200 for everybody in the national.
Yeah. So, you know, we were actually on the verge of a crisis here with this. As you know, we're 19 weeks now into the unemployment. We've had 54 million people file initial jobless claims over the 19 weeks. We still have about 32 million ongoing claims.
Mm.
Now, the federal government was giving a $600 per week supplement to all the state unemployment programs. Some people felt it was a little too rich because some people were making more by staying home.
Yeah.
Okay. But a lot of people, as I just said, still have not found work.
Right.
So they really need that $600 a week. Mm-hmm. And shame on the Congress for not renewing it this week and getting that done for them. Because they need, because the Florida checks, for instance, went out on the 26th. So there's no check going out on Monday this week. And they, it's a cash flow thing.
Right.
Yeah, the Congress may pass it this week and give them retroactive benefits.
Yeah.
But when you're a family and you're trying to feed and pay your rent and all the other things, this is unconscionable for these politicians to not get this together.
Yeah. And as a corollary to that, we saw some huge downward numbers in GDP, annualized at 33% for second quarter. You know, we obviously knew this was coming. You know, because of COVID for the second quarter and the huge unemployment numbers from that period. But the unemployment rate in June, I think, was 11.1%. So it's come down a lot. And they're projecting that the third quarter GDP is going to be up by at least 16%. So some wild variations and swings there.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with whether we can get things reopened. As you know, some of the states have rolled back. We even rolled back here on the bars in Florida. And it all has to do with the media hype and hysteria and just scaring everyone. Because if we don't reopen, we're not going to get to the GDP numbers that we need for this economy to recover. And unfortunately, some of the small businesses, which is the backbone of the American economy and the American middle class, they're holding on a thread. And if they go under, this country will be very destabilized. And that's unfortunately, I think, what the leftists are trying to do.
Yeah. No, they want Trump to fail flat out. They don't care, you know, about you or your family. And they just want to see it reflect on him. And so then he doesn't get reelected.
Right.
And so speaking of what they're trying to do, let's talk a little bit about the riots. And these are not peaceful protesters. I'm sorry. You don't show up to a peaceful protest with a metal cutting saw to try to get into the fence that's surrounding a federal courthouse. You know, you could march from one end of the street to the other and rah, rah, rah. That's great. But when you're showing up with, you know, commercial grade munitions and, you know, metal cutting saws and you know, you're rigged for a fight. I mean, that's clearly rioting.
Right, and pre-placed pallets of bricks and things like that. I do believe that the first couple of days were peaceful protests, then these professional rioters are bussed in and coming. They don't even live there.
No.
Because I don't really believe that people in their own community would deface and destroy their own local businesses, their own things that they paid for with their taxes.
Right.
The different buildings and things.
Yeah.
So it's just definitely an evil movement that's trying to influence the 2020 election.
Oh, absolutely. Although we are seeing a backlash. You know, there's been some citizens who have shown up at local city councils, county councils, whatever, and they're saying, no, we don't want this anymore. We don't want you to defund the police. We don't want these rioters here anymore. You know, crack down. And, you know, I think President Trump is doing the right thing by putting the pressure on these local mayors and whatever, saying, look, if you don't clean up your act, I'll come in there and do it for you.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I have concerns with. I do agree that these mayors do need to get their act together because they're going to have people leave the city and move to states like Florida where it's more stable.
Yeah.
And also with less taxes.
Yep.
So what does that do to their local economy? They're going to become like Detroit.
Exactly.
Okay, the property values are going to go down. First of all, we're not even going to want to do business there. I used to travel to Portland. So I wouldn't want to travel there do any business there.
Right.
So it becomes a downward spiral if the mayors don't take a hold of this and get this going.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen people in Minneapolis saying, I'm not going to rebuild here. You know, I got burned down once and I can move anywhere. And I, you know, with the given unemployment rate, I can hire people anywhere. And
And my other concern is I really don't want President Trump to have to go in there.
Yeah.
Because it's a fine line, you know, with getting towards like a martial law situation.
Right.
Because we may, as conservatives, feel, oh, this, you know, we need to do something. But be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
Because if Trump doesn't win in 2020, or even if he does, in 2024 or 2028, we may have a Democrat president.
Right.
And so when the shoe is on the other foot, we could have real tyranny. Yeah. So we have to really kind of hold back and really put it on those mayors to take care of their cities.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one thing just recently I saw in the news that I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg was back in the hospital. So, you know, we wish her well. You know, you never want to wish ill on a person. But that being said, you know, the next president could have one, two, or even three nominees in the next 4 years for the Supreme Court.
Yeah, it's all about the Supreme Court. So in addition to electing the president, it's all about the Senate as well.
Yeah,
that's
the one that...
For the confirmations.
Yeah, yep. So, and that's I think the Republicans are defending more Senates this year.
I really don't have the answer to that.
Yeah,
I think. But we need to hold what we have and maybe pick up a couple. That would be good.
Yeah.
And of course, it'd be nice if we could flip the House
and
have a new speaker.
Yeah. I think it's possible. I really do. I mean, you know, the poll numbers have never been accurate these past 8 years or so. And, you know, I think a lot of people are afraid to tell the truth in the fact that they're backing Trump. I think he's going to have some long coattails.
Well, I think you're right. In 2016, it was a similar situation, but it's different this year from the standpoint that now the left knows where they had to work in those swing areas.
Yeah.
They have right down to the precincts.
Yeah.
What I'm worried about is not absentee voting, but this mail voting where they push out a ballot to everybody, registered voter, and then there could be ballot harvesting.
Yeah. Tell you what, let's come back to that. We're going to go on our second break. You are listening to the Joe Whitehead Show.
Where Southwest Florida turns for talk. 98.9 WGUF.
Ladies and gentlemen, interest rates are still very low, actually at their lowest in years. Now is the time to make that loan for the new house, the refinance, or the home repair job you were thinking of. Give my friend Dean Malinarich a call at Primary Residential Mortgage right here in Naples, Florida. Dean will get you the best possible rates, and he'll set you up with a mortgage that fits your needs. That's Dean Malinarich at Primary Residential Mortgage. You can find him at lenderdean.com or call 298-9489.
This is the city. Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith. BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
Ladies and gentlemen, here in Southwest Florida, we depend on our cooling systems pretty much year-round. The go-to folks are AC by Florida Comfort Systems right here in Naples. They're owned and operated by Denny Martin. Denny's a veteran of the USS Saratoga, served honorably, and came here in 1985. He's won multiple awards for top-notch business in Southwest Florida. They're the ones to call if you need a new system, if you need your system maintained. All of their employees are background checked. They're drug screened. They do the job right. Give them a call today. That's AC by Florida Comfort Systems. They're the ones with the cool dog mascot on the trucks, and you can find them on the Joe Whitehead Show website. If you want the best healthcare in Southwest Florida, contact Alessi Family Care. They're right here in Bonita Springs. It's a family-run, owned, and operated practice. They take care of not only your wellness needs, and when you're sick, they actually communicate with you and return your phone calls. That's right, a doctor's office where the doctor actually returns your phone calls. Be sure to contact AlessiFamilyCare.com for the best in medical care anywhere in Southwest Florida. That's AlessiFamilyCare.com, and you can find them also on the Joe Whitehead Show website.
98.9 WGUF.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns of Collier County is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done. Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
For news, talk, and information,
24 hours a day,
tune it in and lock it down. 98.9 WGUF.
Naples FM Talk.
And we are back on the Joe Whitehead Show. And with me in studio is Dr. Joe Doyle. And Joe, we were talking about mail-in ballots versus absentee ballots.
Right. Absentee ballots are those that the voter actually requests, and they give them the address to send it to, because it could be, for instance, that they're going to be out of state, especially right now. Some people are up north, so they have the ballot mailed there.
Mm-hmm.
The mail ballots are where it hasn't been requested. It's a blanket push of ballots from the supervisor's office to all registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
And they do their best they can to clean up the polls, but we know that some of those registered voters are dead right now.
Yeah.
Died since the last election.
Yeah.
Okay. So, there's a couple problems with that. There's this concept called ballot harvesting, where, a person can go door to door. And say, we know that you have a ballot. Do you need any assistance filling it out? And they may help them fill it out, or they may say, well, I'll take it to the supervisor's office for you. And if they have an idea that the person is of one or another political party, they could either deliver it or not deliver it.
Right.
And unfortunately, we're having a similar situation with the post office these days.
Mm-hmm.
COVID has created some delays in mail delivery. For one thing, we also know that internally that you may not always have honest mail handlers and mail carriers. We've seen some of that in the news over the years. So theoretically, that could happen with the ballots. But an interesting thing happened in New York with their primary a couple of weeks ago. The governor, Cuomo of New York, decided that that they would do this mail balloting where they mail it to everyone, and that the return would be on reply mail, which is free to the
postage paid. Yeah,
postage paid. And all well and good, people mail them in, return them, but the supervisor's offices could not count those votes because they had no postmark.
Right, because they're prepaid marked already. Yeah.
Yeah. So at least they found out that glitch in the primary. I hope they correct something for the general.
Yeah.
So, but you see, there are many difficulties with this mail ballots, and we're really better off with the absentee system, which works very well in Florida.
Yeah, yeah, it does work well. You know, we do have a lot of military. We have a lot of people who are snowbirds, but they're actually registered to vote in Naples or, you know, Collier or Lee or whatever in Florida. And so, you know, our supervisors of election are pretty good at it, but pushing out a ballot to every single registered voter is just inviting huge levels of fraud and even just mismanagement. Even if it's not, you know, evil, it can happen. And you know, I was watching a local TV show where they put out like 200 ballots, and they went to different fake ballots. It just said test ballot. And they went to, you know, a bunch of different public mailboxes, and they had a P.O. box. And, like, the return after 4 days was ridiculously low, the percentage, I forget. So then they did it again, and it was a little better, but the number was still bad, the number of ballots that they were getting back to this P.O. box that they rented. And so that, you know, that tells you right off the bat that you're introducing complexity into a system that's the last thing it needs is more complexity.
Yeah, and I think, as Doug mentioned, this year is with COVID that we're expecting a lot more absentee ballots.
Yeah.
And so I think your supervisor's offices are going to be very busy with that.
Heck yeah.
You know, and there was a segment on the news last night where, at least in Lee County, lost a lot of volunteers for the poll watchers.
Yep.
Collier County is not as concerned, but both counties are going to have a lot more mail absentee ballots to count,
yeah.
And they need to be counted on election day. We don't want what happened in Broward and in Palm Beach last in the 2018 election, where they were still counting ballots for another week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, I guess August 18th is the next big date, primary time. And is there anything else coming up that we know of? Any, I don't know, are there any budget meetings or?
Yeah, well, as I said, the school board had their preliminary budget hearing this past week. The budgeting comes up in September, right after Labor Day. So that first week, you'll have the county commissioners, and then you'll have the school board again, and then you'll have the fire districts and all the other independent districts.
Yeah,
early September.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I really thank you for being here, and this hour goes by quick. And so I want to thank Doug for calling in, Dr. Joe Doyle, and all you listeners out there, thank you very much. And remember to keep the grill hot and the beer cold. Thanks, all.
From the Village Shops on Venetian Bay Studio, your first-class shopping and dining destination, this is WGUF Marco Island, Naples.